And now it's time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Wilfred Hyde White and Richard Murdoch as the men from the ministry, a weekly tribute to all those who work in government offices and to all the others who spend their days there as well. We are concerned, as usual, with the General Assistance Department, that tireless body which exists to help any other department that's overloaded. This week we find them attached to the Ministry of Aviation, and as we join them in their office, high over Whitehall, they are studying the problems of aerodynamics.
Whatever you say, I'm convinced Zeppelin has the greatest potential for long-distance flight.
I'm not denying that, but the point is endurance isn't everything. One ought to consider style, grace, elegance. That's why I prefer this one.
Well, I must admit she's rather beautiful.
I mean, that wingspan's quite remarkable, isn't
The
it?
The body seems ideally proportioned.
And look at the tail, my dear.
Yes. Hello. I say, quiet a minute, one.
What is it, Bosman?
I think she's going to lay an egg.
Oh, good gracious. I believe you're right. Oh, I say. Oh, yeah.
Bravo, my word. What a surprise.
Well done, Victoria. I say we mustn't let Sir Gregory see this.
Oh, no.
Did you get that memo he sent round last week? He said that staff were not to encourage pigeons on the windowsill.
Yes, I'm afraid I tore it up and threw it out of the window.
Did you really?
Actually, those two birds collected some of the pieces and used them to line their nest.
Well, now we know why they built the nest anyway.
And we know which is Victoria and which is Albert. That'll cost you half a crown, too.
I'd like to know how you guess.
I had a feeling the lady was the one who seemed dissatisfied with the nest and kept sending the other fellow for more twigs.
Ah, well, they're certainly a handsome couple.
Yes, they are.
And I'll bet they're jolly proud of that egg.
Matter of fact, so am I. Nice to think they picked my windowsill to start a family. In fact, I think this calls for a little celebration.
I'll get the brandy from the first aid cabinet.
Good. Bring a biscuit or something, would you?
Okay.
Better let Victoria and Albert join the party. Besides, you've got to build a strength up, Victoria. That's right. And you take good care of her, Albert. Yes, I'm not surprised you look pleased with yourself.
Here we are, two glasses of brandy and a suggested biscuit.
Thank you. Now, tell what we'll do. We'll just break the biscuit in half, dip it in the brandy.
Oh, wow, that's vandalism.
No, not at all, my dear fellow. I said the pigeons must join the celebration. Break the biscuit, drop it on the sill like that. There you are. Now, that's better than you get in Trafalgar Square, isn't it? Well, I see what I tell you. They like it. Oh, you rascals. You like it, don't you, you rascals? Well, cheers, too.
Cheers, Anne. Oh, I hope you're doing the right thing with that booze-sodden biscuit.
Of course I am. What are you talking about? They'd love it. Look, look.
Well, whatever you say, one, I can't believe alcohol's good for him. And just when he should be taking seriously his responsibilities as a parent.
Now, don't fuss. There he goes. He's taking off again. Look. Lucky Sir Gregory's gone indoors.
What did I tell you? He's definitely unsteady in his flight.
Who's unsteady? What are you talking... Oh, Albert, I see. Yes, I suppose he is a bit.
Look at him. Instead of his usual graceful glide, what's he doing? Lurching drunkenly across the sky.
Yes, look, he won't come to any harm, will he?
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. He's faltering a bit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness, he's gone into a nosedive.
You're right, my dear boy. Oh, look, he's completely out of control.
He's going to hit the middle of Whitehall at 100 miles an hour.
I can't look. What's happening?
He's crashed in the middle of the road. I think he might... What is it?
Not a...
Yes, an 88 bus.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a very quick way to go.
My dear fellow, I'll never forgive myself. That brandy, oh dear, what was I thinking of? Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Poor Victoria. Did she see, do you think?
I don't think so. She's looking a bit bottled herself. She'll just assume that he's left her.
What a terrible thing. All my fault. There, there, Victoria. We'll have to look after you now. Now, listen, April, Mildred, we've asked you to come in here because we want to talk to you. I'm afraid we're faced with a sad and tricky situation.
Oh, sir, whatever that is.
Now, Victoria, the pigeon on my windowsill, has lost her husband.
Oh, dear, how did that happen?
I think you might say he went into a sudden decline. Yes, 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 might say that. But for various reasons, Mr. Lamb and I feel somewhat responsible. You see, this has just happened when Victoria's sitting on her first egg.
That means you have no mate to bring her brood.
Well, it doesn't work quite that way. You see, normally the lady pigeon and the gentleman pigeon take it in turns to sit on the egg. That way, each gets time off to feed. But now, poor Victoria's got to work both shifts. So, the effect is the same. She won't get any food.
How do you know this, Mr. Lamb?
Miss Hamilton Jones and I have invested in this small booklet. So you want to keep pigeons by Albert Granby. We thought it essential to find out all about it. You see, we feel until its egg hatches safely, the welfare of this pigeon is our responsibility.
And yours, we hope.
Of course. I'll do all I can to help.
Oh, me too.
Good. Now, the first problem is the feeding business. As we said, this bird is liable to starve because there's no mate to share the job of sitting on the egg. Mildred, this is where you can help.
Oh, Mr. Lamb. I'd never get out on that windowsill.
Yeah. Mildred, we don't expect you to sit on it yourself. Victoria will do that. But we've got to feed her. Now, according to the book, the best diet is millet and cod liver oil. I want you to go out and buy some of both. Then mix them up and knead the mixture into little paste balls. And we'll keep a supply on number one's desk. All right?
Yes, Mr. Lamb.
Good. Now, Mr. Lamb and I will be responsible for actually giving the bird food and water. But we must all be responsible for protecting Victoria from her enemies.
Enemies?
Yes, enemies. Those who wish her harm. Mr. Lamb and I have discussed this carefully, and we've decided there are three special dangers, isn't that right?
Yes.
They are, we wrote it down somewhere, didn't we?
Because... I've got it, yes. The three main sources of danger to Victoria are Sir Gregory Pitkin,
yes,
the window cleaner, and Neutron, the caretaker's cat. If Sir Gregory looks in at any time, he must be detained in the outer office as long as possible, while whoever's in here carries out Operation Screwboard.
Operation Screwboard?
Yes, Mr. Lamb's found that enormous notice board you see over there. Mm-hmm. Operation Screwboard consists of screwing it up so it completely conceals the small window where Victoria's sitting.
But it'll cut half the light. Won't Sir Gregory notice the change?
Now, that's a risk we'll have to take. Fortunately, Sir Gregory's been in public service a number of years, so he's not quite as bright as the normal, well, you know what I mean. Anyway, there are other windows, aren't there?
Ah, but remember, if ever Sir Gregory sees the nest, it'll be curtains for Victoria and a big rocket for us.
Yes, remember that. But with any luck, of course, he may not come away at all. The window cleaner, on the other hand, will certainly do so.
Yes, it's the second Wednesday in the month, so any minute now he'll come marching in to have a go at the windows.
That's not the only thing he likes to have a go at.
Exactly. We all recall last month I had to speak rather sharply to the window cleaner because of his familiarity with April here.
Well, it was partly her own fault, really. She should have known better than to lean out the window when he pointed.
Be that as it may, the window cleaner now bears us a grudge. He knows the rule about pigeons, and if he spots Victoria, he's sure to report it to Sir Gregory.
Well, you can't put the notice board up when he comes. He knows how many windows there are.
Exactly. We'll have to be a little more subtle. This time, it's up to you, April.
Me?
Yes. You know he fancies you. The idea is for you to meet him in the corridor before he gets here, chat him up a bit, and encourage him to take you round to the El Inferno coffee bar for an illicit cappuccino. That'll put him behind schedule, and he'll have to skip our floor to catch up.
You mean I've got to play up to that chamois leather Romeo?
I'm very sorry, April. You can imagine how I feel asking you to do a thing like this, but when you think of that little feathered widow huddled up in her nest, straining herself to hatch her egg.
All right, Mr. Lamb, say no more. I'll do it.
Good. I knew you'd rally round, April. I say, isn't it exciting having something really important to do?
April, I've got some more pigeon food for Mr. H.J.
Jolly good. I doubt if Victoria's finished the first lot yet.
Here, I've been meaning to ask you. How did you get on with that cheeky window cleaner yesterday?
Oh, we spent an hour in a dark corner of the coffee bar, holding hands.
Holding hands? That was not work on his part.
No, it was self-defense on mine. Anyway, pigeon and egg were saved, so I suppose it was all worthwhile.
Trouble is, he's asked me to go out for a drive tonight, in his van.
But he knows a quiet spot in the country.
Oh, isn't he awful? Would you like me to go instead?
Now, that is a good idea, Mildred. I was supposed to meet him at El Inferno at 6 o'clock.
All right. You have to help a friend, you understand.
Thanks very much. His name's Walter, by the way.
All right, April. How's the pigeon getting on?
Quietly confident, I think. Our bosses, on the other hand, are in a state of great excitement.
H.J. didn't leave till 5 o'clock last night. And Mr. Lamb says he was in at 10 this morning to give Victoria a first feed.
If they go on keeping eyes like that, people will get suspicious.
Oh.
Anyway, you better take in that disgusting-looking food, Mildred.
Righto, April.
Come in.
More pasteballs for the pigeon, sir. Shall I put them on your desk with the others?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mildred.
Right you are, sir.
Now then, I hope this millet and cauliflower oil's the right thing.
Looks pretty nasty, but Victoria seems to like it.
Yeah.
She's about due for her midday feed, isn't she? Hello, Victoria.
There you are, dear. Nice lunch.
I say, one, do you think she's looking a little tired?
Tired, what? Yes, I think. I think you may be right. fretting a bit too, I shouldn't wonder.
Perhaps she hasn't enough to occupy her mind. We could try putting Mildred's transistor radio out there with her. No, perhaps not. She doesn't approve of the wireless, no. Well, eat up your dinner, Victoria, and then if I were you, I'd have a nice sleep. It's April on your intercom.
I can hear Sir Gregory talking in the passage. Yes. I think he's coming in.
Oh, my goodness. Quick, yes, operation, whatever it is. What is it again? Thank you, April. Keep him out there as long as you can, will you?
I'll do my best.
Window shut.
Yes, that's
notice
it.
Board. Yes. Take that end.
Right. Now then. Got it?
On lift. The wall. Oh, good thing we put these hooks here.
Steady. Take it gently. We could do ourselves a mischief.
There we are. Yes. Covers up the whole window space.
By the way, where did you find this old notice board?
Behind a lot of crates in the storeroom.
Only some of those notices are a bit dated, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I should have thought of that. I'll take them down and...
Yes.
Too late.
Morning, Hamilton. Good morning.
How do you do, Sir Gregory? How do you do?
Never mind about that. I want to know how you're getting on with this RAF recruiting program.
We want to know how we're getting on. We're getting on very well, Sir Gregory. Thank you. Pushing ahead.
I've seen nothing in my office yet.
To tell the truth, we're a bit held up for a slogan. Yes. Something rather punchy to start the whole thing off.
Slogan, eh? Yes. Well, I hope it's fresher than the ones on your notice board. What is all this? Don't be careless. Don't despair. Treat your stirrup pump with care. Got your gas mask, chum. The war's been over 17 years, you know.
Yes, we do know. It's very kind of you to remind us. Thank you. We realize that, Sir Gregory. But you never know when someone's going to start another one, do you? And if they do, Sir Gregory, we in this office are ready.
With your stirrup pump?
Yes.
I see. But what about that one? That can't look very good when the trade delegation from Munich toured the building last month. Look at it.
Beware, German spies are everywhere. Yes, I suppose that was a bit unfortunate.
There's something strange about this room today.
Oh, I don't think so, Gregory. Can you notice anything strange, too?
No. Seems rather dark.
Dark, really? Do you find it dark, too?
No, not at all. No. Rather bright, as a matter of fact.
That's what I thought.
Could I offer you a cigarette, Sir Gregory?
That is the pencil box you're holding.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, I don't smoke.
Oh, he doesn't smoke. Very kind of you to look in, Sir Gregory. We'll let you have that RAF stuff as soon as it's done.
Good, by the way, what are these disgusting-looking things on your desk?
Oh, let me see.
Little balls of some kind of horrid paste.
Yes, you're quite right.
What are they?
You're quite right, Sir Gregory. What are they?
You tell
them. Yes, well, they're little balls of some kind of horrid paste.
I can see that, man.
You can see that.
But what kind of paste and for what?
And for what? What for or for what?
They're special lozenges, Sir Gregory.
Yes, lozenges, yes. That's right. Lamb and I get sore throats.
Oh, well, pretty nasty to me.
Oh, it is.
No, go ahead, have one.
Oh, don't.
Not just now.
No, not just now.
Come along, man, don't mind me. Have one.
Don't mind
you. You did say they are lozenges,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, have one.
Have one.
Oh, very well.
Go on.
Delicious.
Hamilton Jones?
Oh, no, not me, thank you.
Come on.
No, I don't think
now,
I...
Come on, man. Do you good.
And my throat's better now.
Go on, take one.
Oh, dear.
I want to keep you fit, you know. That RAF business is very pressing.
Yes, very pressing. Yes, Sir Gregory.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Pass the wastepaper basket, quick.
Yeah. Oh, poor Victoria. She can't really enjoy this stuff, can she?
I expect it's different for birds. Quick now, get the notice board down and see how she is. All that business may have frightened her.
Yes, it certainly frightened me anyway. Steady, one, do you?
Oh, you've got it caught on. Oh, that's better. There we are.
Open the window.
Yeah.
Hello, Victoria. Are you all right? She looks a bit excited, one.
Yes, there's something different about the way she's sitting, isn't it? Just a minute, I wonder. Two, can you see what I can see?
It isn't. It can't be. It is. Another egg.
Isn't it, marvellous?
Twins.
Worth putting up with all the difficulties, isn't it? Mind you, we've got double responsibility now.
Tell me, Mildred, how have you been getting on with Walter, the wanton window cleaner?
Well, like I told you, April, the first time I went along instead of you, he was very decent.
Mm-hmm.
Same on Tuesday and Thursday. We went to the pictures and he behaved like a perfect gentleman. I couldn't think what I'd done wrong. Anyway, cheered up on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We went dancing and he began to get with it.
Oh.
Then Sunday we drove out to the country.
Gathering rosebuds while you may.
No, gathering groundsel for the pigeon. I promised Mr. Lamb on Friday.
Oh.
He said she wasn't getting enough roughage, never leaving the nest.
Never leaving the nest? You're forgetting last Wednesday, aren't you?
Oh, I never forget last Wednesday.
Nor me.
When H.J. came rushing out of the office, I thought he'd seen a ghost.
Well, it was a shock, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Victoria going off and leaving the eggs like that. I hope it didn't come to any harm.
Oh, I don't think so. Mind you, I'm sure we did right to cover them up.
Well, I was against it at the time, because if the mother comes back and finds her eggs covered up, it scares her away.
Yes. And because you said that, poor Mr. Lamb had to sit by the window all night. So the moment Victoria appeared, he could whip his bowler hat off the eggs.
I wonder where Victoria got to all Wednesday night.
I wonder. Oh, well, anyway, all this worry should be over soon. According to the book, the eggs are due to hatch any day now.
Well, I hope they do, for Mr. Lamb's sake. Yes. I've never seen anyone so worried.
Being a bachelor. There we are. That puts most of the work in order, one. I'm afraid we can't get much further until we've got this recruiting slogan.
Well, keep at it, my dear fellow. Keep at it. We can't afford to relax on this. Not much in the Times this morning.
The trouble is, I can't think properly. I'm so worried about Victoria. The book says these pre-hatching days are very tricky.
Now then, too, we're doing all we can.
But are we? I couldn't get to sleep last night for thinking about her. Sitting there all alone in the cold, I felt so guilty I couldn't even enjoy my hot drink at bedtime. Do you think we ought to get Mildred to knit her a tiny muffler?
Oh, that's a good idea. What a good idea, too. Anyway, let's have a look and see how she's getting on.
Yes. You know, I don't think she looks well today. She hasn't even eaten her elevenses. She's so fidgety all of a sudden, keeps making little bird-like movements of the head.
Well, what sort of movements of the head do you expect her to make, for heaven's sake?
Come and see for yourself. I'm sure this bird's not well.
Surely it can't be as bad. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. She looks very peeled. Mm. Look at her eyes, that bloodshot.
I know.
Feathers coming out. Blood. I don't like the look of this at all.
What are we going to do?
Well, get a vet, of course. I'll bring that animal clinic across the road. Have them send one as quickly as possible.
And ask April to find some smelling salts, would you? Oh, dear, I hope we're not too late.
Here you are, Mr. Lamb. Smelling salts.
Ah, thank you. Ah, that's better. Oh, April, I'm very worried about Victoria.
Yes, of course. But H.J. rang the vet 20 minutes ago. He'll be here any moment.
Where's H.J. gone?
Oh, I don't know. As soon as he'd phoned the animal clinic, he dashed out looking desperate.
I've been trying to get Victoria to eat, but she won't have any.
Oh,
I wish that vet had hurry up.
Look out, the Gregory's coming down the
passage.
Oh, my
goodness. Oh, dear. There's no time to put the notice board up. Quick, April, I'll shut the window. You draw the curtains.
Yes, right. And I'd better stand in front of them.
Yes.
Now, look here, about this RAF recruiting business. Hello, where's Hamilton Jones?
Oh, I'm afraid he's out, Sir Gregory.
Yes, I can see that. But wait a minute. This room's changed again. Ah, I see. You've got those curtains drawn. Why?
Yes, you said why. Well, it's Mr. Hamilton Jones. He's not feeling too well today. He couldn't stand the light.
Not well, Hamilton Jones?
Yes, that's why he slipped out for a moment. He went over to the washroom to bathe his forehead.
Extraordinary business. What's the matter?
Perhaps he's been overworking.
You're joking, of course.
Yeah, but
excuse me, is this Mr. Hamilton Jones' office?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, good. Venables is my name. I've come from the clinic. Mr. Hamilton Jones sent for me.
Really? Who did you say you were?
Well, he said, Sir Gregory, Dr. Venables is a medical man. Mr. Hamilton Jones sent for him to cure this little trouble.
Oh, more serious than I thought. What exactly are the symptoms?
The symptoms, yes. Well, listlessness, the loss of appetite, nervous shaking of the head.
Oh dear, I wonder what it can be.
Well, from those symptoms and the ones Mr. Hamilton Jones described on the phone, I should think it's bumblefoot, threadworm, or scaly leg.
What?
At worst, of course, it could be marble bone disease. Or scruffy pox.
Amazing, but what on earth would cause a thing like that?
Oh, well, these things are often caused by dirt, you know. Yes, some of up here in the city don't keep themselves too clean.
Goodness gracious, I can hardly believe it.
Oh, well, there's not much brain there, is there, you see? You couldn't expect it, could you, with such a tiny little head?
Yes, well, thank you very much, Mr. Venables. Perhaps you'd like to wait in the outer office till we have your patient ready?
All right, yes. And I can be getting my kit out.
Yes.
I'll have to start by scrubbing the patient's feet.
Scrubbing the patient's feet?
Yes, and then I'll give the body a good dusting over with DDT.
Well, I suppose Hamilton Jones is entitled to choose his own medical advisor.
Mr. Devils, you were going to wait in the outer office.
That's all right, that's all right. I'm off now. I've got a meeting of the supply committee. Pity. I should like to have stayed and watched the treatment. Tell Hammer and Jones I hope he feels better soon. I want that recruiting business finished.
Oh, yes, quite, Sir Gregory. Goodbye, Sir Gregory.
I thought we'd had it that time.
Me too, but there's not a moment to lose. Quick, Dr. Venables, Victoria's out there. Have you got everything you need? Stethoscope, thermometer?
Yes, yes, I've got everything I want, I think. Yes, thank you. Now, let's have a look at the patient. Well, she doesn't look too bad to me.
Huh? Yes, you're right. She does look better now. Oh, but look, there's a broken eggshell.
Oh?
Oh, dear, that
means... Wait a minute. Look, can you see?
It can't be. It is. One of them's hatched.
They're both hatched. Look.
Oh, April, aren't they marvelous? Isn't the whole thing absolutely marvelous?
It's wonderful.
Well, it seems I'm in time to congratulate you both.
Thank you.
I hope you'll all be very happy.
Hello, hello. What's going on here?
It's happened, one. They've arrived, both of them. Look.
Oh, bless my soul. How fascinating. Now I'll surprise you, my boy. I had a premonition this was on the way. Hmm? That's why I slipped out of the shops. April, go fetch Mildred, will you? I've got a little something here to mark the occasion.
You haven't, one. How splendid. A bottle of Peruvian port-type sherry.
You'll join us in a glass, Mr...
Oh, Venables. Yes, thank you very much. Oh, I should remind you, your worries aren't quite over yet. These squabs won't fly for a fortnight or more, so you'll have to look after them as well as their mother.
Now then, I'm quite sure that's a boy and that's a girl. In fact, I'll put half a crown on it.
No, thanks, man. I won't argue with you this time.
I mean, it stands to reason that one's a female. She never stops opening her beak.
She's getting on a bit quicker than Albert, isn't she?
Yes, well, they're both doing pretty well, I'd say. Be flying any day now, you mark my words. All right, Victoria, we haven't forgotten you. Have a pasteball.
Excuse me, sir. This memo's just arrived from establishment officer.
Oh, dear, is it important?
I rather think it is.
Let me see. Thank you. During the next few days, workmen will be redecorating the front of the building. This work will be done from the outside, but staff are asked to accept a certain amount of noise and inconvenience.
I say, what a good idea. About time this place was done up.
Yes, but I hope they don't make all the windows stick like they did last time.
Don't you see? Scaffolding, workmen. What's going to happen to the bird?
The bird?
Oh, my goodness. You're quite right, April. Of course, it'll be pandemonium.
Oh, the nest will be destroyed the first day. Or at least Victoria will be scared off and the babies will die.
Well, we've got to stop them. But how? Could we say it would interrupt our work?
No, that's not a subject I want to raise, Mr. Gregory, at the moment, if you don't mind. Don't forget his ultimatum on the recruiting campaign.
How about all sitting in the road? Stop the lorries bringing the scaffolding.
Well, I know it's a hobby of yours, Mildred, but I don't think the minister would appreciate it.
Got to do something.
Wait a minute, I got an idea. April, get Scotland Yard on the phone, would you?
Yes.
Ask for the traffic director.
Right.
But don't say it's me, say it's, let me think, the Duke of Bridlington. Yes, yes, Duke of Bridlington. From the Office of State Occasions.
All right. Yes. I'll do it in the outer office.
Yes.
And put him
through. That's it. Good.
The Duke of Bridlington? There's no such person, is there? What's all this about?
You know, Mildred's quite right. If we stop their lorries, they can't put up their scaffolding.
Yes, but we can't sit in the road. It wouldn't be... I mean, it'd be cold and wet.
Oh, my dear, better pull yourself together. There's more than one way. Ah, that'll be my call. Hello? Is that the traffic director, Scotland Yard?
Yes, speaking.
Oh.
And that's the Duke of Bridlington, is it?
Is it? Oh, yes, it is. Yes, quite right. Yes, quite right. Yes, quite right. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you, sir. Busy as always. And how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Yes. Just wanted to check the arrangements for tomorrow's state visit of the Sultan of Uwait.
What was that again, sir?
Oh, come, man. The Sultan of Uwait, I said. You know about his state visit, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course, I can't quite put my finger on the details at the moment.
Well, you better get your finger moving quickly. He arrives first thing tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Yes, that's right. I remember.
Yes, and of course, you know, he plans to visit Parliament. Haven't forgotten that, have you? So he'll be driving down Whitehall sometime tomorrow or the next day. With the Sultana, of course.
Yes. I have the papers in front of me now.
Oh, good boy. Thank you, yes. Have you, really? Yes. Well, now then. No doubt you're having Whitehall closed to all vehicles from first thing tomorrow morning till further notice, aren't you?
Yes. That's exactly what we're going to do, sir.
That's right.
Till further notice, did you say?
That's right, yes.
Oh, well, I should have thought... we thought perhaps just till Friday would cover it, sir.
Friday? Oh, well, very well. They should have flown away by then.
Flown away?
Yes, flown back to Uwait. Yes, thank you. Thanks for your cooperation.
Not at all, sir. All part of the job.
Goodbye. I didn't think I'd better press my luck too hard, so it gives Victoria and Albert 2 days.
2 days. I hope they can learn to fly in that time. Perhaps if we all stand in front of the window and flap our arms, they might get the idea. but you must try. Look, like this, you see?
Now, it's no use to you. You've been jumping off that desk for 2 days, and I don't think Albert's... Albert's not the slightest bit interested.
But doesn't he realize it's Friday? Look, they're already assembling the scaffolding down there.
Well, no one can say we didn't try. No one could possibly say we didn't try. Traffic halted, questions in the House, vote of censure on the government. Come in, many birds get that sort of treatment.
I hope there aren't any repercussions, well.
I expect there are a few red faces somewhere. I noticed they chose the middle of the night for removing the no-entry signs.
I mean, I hope they never find out we're responsible. We're in enough trouble already with this recruiting program. Sir Gregory says if it's not done by midday, there'll be an official complaint. And we still haven't found our slogan.
Well, don't worry. If you haven't found it by 11:30, I'll start thinking about it.
And then look at this pigeon. He's got all his feathers. His sister's flown off. His mother's flown off. But poor Albert's still sitting there waiting for the workmen to sweep him up. In 2 minutes, it'll be too late.
Yes, look, Sir Gregory's down there giving the men their instructions.
Wait a minute, look. Albert's moving.
My goodness, you're right. He's struggling out of the nest.
I think... Yes, he is. He's taking off.
Oh, wonderful. Bravo, Albert.
Wait a minute, though. What? Oh, I hope he doesn't. I hope he isn't going to. Albert, don't.
Too late, I'm afraid he has.
Maybe Sir Gregory will move.
He didn't.
Albert, you are a little rascal.
Oh, look at that. Sir Gregory's furious. Look, he's shaking his fist.
Albert doesn't mind. He's flying up to the roof over there.
Wouldn't his father be proud of him? A real chip off the old block, you know. Look at him up there, pleased as punch.
Yes, and you know one? I think I've got that RAF slogan we wanted. How about, on a winged career embark, learn to fly and make your mark.
Excellent.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Wilfred Hyde White and Richard Murdoch. Other essential personnel were Diana Olson, Norma Ronald, Roy Dotrice, Percy Edwards, and John Graham. The Men from the Ministry is written and produced by Edward Taylor. ¶¶